So good to see you on this frozen morning. Dawn, I wore long sleeves just so you wouldn't feel cold all morning, okay? It's for you, my friend. Well, welcome to our second Sunday of 2024. If you are new today, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and I'm so glad you've joined us today, whether online or in person, as we continue really the introduction of our theme for the year, which is discover. Discover means to make known for the first time. Make known for the first time. And that's what this year will hopefully be about for many of the people in and around Devon, as they discover who God is, what he's done, what it all means for them. Then as followers of Jesus, we'll discover our part in God's mission and how to share the good news of Jesus with those around us. We'll discover what it means to be an effective and healthy church family. And we'll discover how to develop our character and fulfill our mission so we can honor God with our lives. So if you're the adventurous type, you won't want to miss a single Sunday as we explore the Bible and make new discoveries together each week. And to start us off in the right direction, we are joining together to pray for this year of discovery every Sunday evening in January from 6 to 7 p.m. Last week, we prayed for into our personal relationship with God, that we would be open and obedient to what God wants us to discover throughout the year. And tonight, we'll be praying for our church family, for one another, that we'll be more accepting, more caring, more forgiving as we extend the grace that God has given us to one another. We're going to pray for unity and fulfilling our mission and purpose as well as for harmony in our relationships together in his family. Then for the two remaining weeks, we're going to pray for our community and we're going to pray for our world. So I hope you'll be able to join us at least for one of those times in praying for this to be the best year ever as we discover all that God wants to do in us and through us throughout the year. But maybe for you, prayer is actually the thing you struggle with. Or maybe you're totally unfamiliar with it. Maybe prayer is in fact what you need to discover this year. That's why I felt important to start off our year of discovery with this familiar yet mysterious discipline in our relationship with God. I discovered a cute story regarding prayer about a pastor and his daughter who was named Donna. I'm not making this up just because my wife's name's Donna. It was really the name of 3-year-old Donna who loved to pray before the meals at home, but would sometimes get carried away. Occasionally, her father would have to say, "Amen, that's enough, Donna." Well, of course, the time came when one Sunday in church, as her dad, the pastor, was giving a pretty lengthy benediction, Donna stood up and declared, "Amen, that's enough, Daddy." You know, like little Donna. Is that a song? Squirrel. Like little Donna, all my life, I have learned to do things by following the examples of others. Those who are more experienced than I was, right? When I first started playing basketball in junior high, it was a brand new junior high building. You may have heard of it. It's just over in that part of town. First year it was opened. I'd watch the walk over in the early in the morning over to the high school and watch the senior high play or practice in the morning. All their best players would show up early in the morning every day before school to shoot and to do some drills. So I would come and I'd watch them and I'd pay attention. How do they hold the ball? How do they stand? How do they follow through everything so that I could try to be as good as them? I did the same thing like that in every sport that I played. I watched who was the best that I knew of in order to become the best that I could. The truth is, I think that most of what we actually do today, all of us, has come from observation and emulation. Really, of those who are older than us or are just plain better than us, right? As we're growing up. And I've really noticed that the same can be said about our spiritual life. Specifically when it comes to this area of prayer. In fact, the early church leader, Paul, actually encouraged the church to learn from those who were more mature in their faith, right? He wrote to the church in Corinth, Greece, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So if you feel uneasy about praying, then coming out on Sunday nights can be a great way for you to listen and learn so you can develop your own prayer life. Take those baby steps of saying a few words yourself, even. The only thing I'd say is don't try to become like them. Some people pray weird, and you know who I'm talking about. Now, all of us know people like that, right? And some of us are people like that. But so we don't want to, you know, become somebody else. The thing is, we need to be ourselves, right? Just be yourself when you talk to God. It's not what you say or how you say it. It's your heart attitude that matters, because God never rejects a humble heart. Now, let's take a few minutes to discover what Jesus himself actually taught and had to say about prayer when he was asked to teach his followers how to pray. It's found in the account of his original follower named Matthew, and Jesus said this, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners and pray so people will see them. I tell you the truth, they already have their full reward. When you pray, you should go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who cannot be seen. Your Father can see what is done in secret, and he will reward you. And when you pray, don't be like those people who don't know God. They continue saying things that mean nothing, thinking that God will hear them because of their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. So when you pray, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name always be kept holy. May your kingdom come and what you want be done. Here on earth as in heaven, give us the food we need for each day. Forgive us for our sins, just as we've forgiven those who sinned against us. And do not cause us to be tempted, but save us from the evil one." I love that Jesus didn't just give his followers a formula to follow, but he actually laid out it, when you take a look at this, what their attitude is to be when they approach their Heavenly Father in prayer. He didn't make prayer out to be some ritualistic duty, but a way to converse with their Heavenly Father. And right in the middle of his instruction, we find Jesus laying out the purpose of prayer, which is our first point today. If you're taking notes, you can grab that and fill in the purpose of prayer. We pray because we need to connect with God and with his will for our lives. In our text today, Jesus teaches us to pray, "May what you want be done," right? "Thy will be done," for you and the King Jimmy this morning. This is very different than a lot of the prayers I've heard over the years in church. Too often they feel more like, "God bless what I'm doing." Somewhere, people have been told if they have enough faith that God will do what they want, bless what they want to do, and give them whatever they want. May sound a little facetious, but I wonder if these people really think they have more faith than Jesus. On the night he was betrayed, it says that Jesus asked three times for his Father to provide another solution to humanity's sin problem, other than him having to die on a cross. But after each prayer, Jesus submits to his Father's will. He says, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine." Why do we pray? Not to gain favor and get stuff from God, but to align my life, my will, my attitude to his will. Prayer is acknowledging God's sovereignty in my life. So as Jesus' followers, prayer is important because it prioritizes God's will for us, both in us and through us. Second thing we find in Jesus' teaching is really a pattern for prayer, pattern prayer. When Jesus laid out the Lord's Prayer, I don't believe that he meant for it to be just a recitation, right? As it has come for some churches. Although there does seem to be obviously some form and outline to it, which we may get into later this year, I don't think that it's meant to show us what we should say to our Heavenly Father, but the attitude of how we should approach him. Again, Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray." Not what you should pray. For we find many prayers throughout the New Testament, including prayers that Jesus prayed himself, that don't follow this model, do they? So I believe that what Jesus was showing us is not so much the aspects of prayer, but the attitudes of prayer that we need to have. Let's look at how this idea really fits into what Jesus taught. So he starts his prayer with, "Our Father," right? So Jesus wants us to know that the God to whom we're approaching, he's not a cosmic cop waiting for us to mess up just so he can, you know, bring down the law on us. And he's not some high and lofty, out of touch, impersonal entity that couldn't care less about us. He's a loving and caring God, like a good Father. So there should be no hesitation, no anxiety about approaching him with our cares and concerns. That's why Peter, Jesus' best-known follower, wrote to the early church, "Give all your worries and cares to God." Why? For he cares about you. He cares about you. That's why Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "We can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence." This shows us God wants us to know him as Heavenly Father, loving Father, so that we will come to him respectfully, confidently, and expectantly. Next, Jesus shows us that when we go, you know, when we do go to God in prayer, when we're praying, that we keep his sovereignty in mind, okay? We're to pray, as we said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." This is the attitude we already talked about. We already saw this in Jesus, right? In the garden before the crucifixion, he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." We pray that God's will be done so that his kingdom would come into the hearts of the people he loves. When we prioritize God's will, we fulfill his mission, just like Jesus did. He came to seek and save the lost, right? And he calls us to follow him in his mission. He laid down his life to save us, and he calls us to lay down our lives in like manner. Not my dreams, not my plans, not my desires, not my will, yours be done. Yours be done. Yet that didn't stop Jesus from asking, "If possible, let this cup of suffering be taken." And that means that it shouldn't stop us from seeking God's intervention and guidance from day to day. Give us this day, dot, dot, dot. Submitting to the Father's will isn't being fatalistic, okay? The Bible says over and over to ask for what you need. But we must always submit that need to the Father's will. Only He knows what's truly best for us, what we truly need, and what's necessary for His will to be accomplished in our lives. Next, Jesus states, forgive us as we forgive. I think this is an attitude most of us have difficulty with, right? Lord, I want you to treat me how I treat others. Did I read that right? Forgive us as we forgive. We're meant to reflect the love and grace we've received from God and to the people around us. We're to treat them how He treats them. And we ask Him to treat us like we treat them. So when I'm not gracious toward people, even if in my estimation they don't deserve it, then I'm not reflecting God's heart. The Bible says that we will receive from God the same measure we give to the people in our lives. This attitude of prayer to me recognizes this truth, that the measure of grace I've received is the same measure of the grace I need to give. And the measure of grace I give will be the measure that God continues to pour into my life. Awfully quiet. Finally, we have, do not cause me to be tempted, but deliver us from the evil one. Cause us to be tempted. The wording here in English has caused some confusion for some followers of Jesus who are unfamiliar with the original languages of the Bible. Why? Well, if you are familiar with the Bible, you know James' letter to the early church, he writes, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. Yet we just read Jesus said, do not cause us to be tempted. It seems to suggest that God has a split personality. But we know that is not so. So what's going on here? James says the Father doesn't change like the shifting shadows produced by the sun and moon. God never changes. Then what's Jesus saying in this verse? Well, it helps to understand again what the original Greek word that's translated here is temptation. And I took the liberty to put it in your outline there for you. Pyrasmos. Pyrasmos. Which speaks of adversity, affliction, trouble, serving to test or prove one's character, faith, holiness. So when you understand this, this prayer he's saying to pray, in fact, is a cry for God to be gentle and merciful with us in His disciplining of us as He grows our character, grows our faith. Be merciful in your discipline. So we can see here, when we look at this, Jesus isn't teaching His followers that what they needed to do when they approach God in prayer, but what they needed to be, right? The next aspect of prayer we find in our text is the promise of prayer. The promise. Again, this isn't about if you do this, then God will do that, okay? It's not a formula. It's not a ritual. It's about our attitude. Jesus said this, when you pray, you should go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who cannot be seen. Your Father can see what is done in secret, and He will reward you. as your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Now, the point is, sorry, war room, but it's not that you need to find a special place to pray. It's that we just have to have a humble heart, submissive spirit, to get away with God somewhere that where you can just focus on him. It's not about a show, right? Like David wrote, God, you will not despise a broken and humbled heart. So the promise of prayer is that he always hears us. He knows our needs, and he rewards those with humble hearts, those who diligently seek him, spend time with him, hang out with him. Then it begs the question, why do too many people feel a disconnect between God's hearing and the answering of our prayers? Well, it's because God doesn't always answer the way we want him to, right? We think we know best. This is what has to happen, God. But we don't. I've gotten one or two things wrong over the years, believe it or not. Yet God, who sees all, who knows all, does know what's best. So we can be confident that he is working all things out for our benefit, even if it's not what we think we need. We must understand and believe that there is absolutely nothing in this universe, physical or spiritual, that can thwart God's plans for our lives. So when we bring our prayers and petitions to God, we need to always submit them, right? Submit them to him, to his will, to his plan for our lives. Because when that's your attitude in prayer, you can be sure he'll answer. May not be what you thought or hoped would happen, but it's exactly what needs to happen for God to be glorified in your life. And you'll find, as God promised, great is your reward. Final point I think we need to understand is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. You know, I don't know if you're like this, but sometimes when I read about some of the accounts of the ancient believers of God in the Old Testament portion of the Bible, I sit there and go, boy, I wish I was like them. Why can't I be like them in that, right? But the reality is that they really weren't anything special. When James wrote his letter to the early church, he tells them that they, the early church, those new brand new believers, are no different than the heroes of the faith from the past that the Jewish people revered, like the ancient prophet Elijah. James says Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So if James says Elijah was just a regular person, like you and me, then that tells me that the answers to his prayers had nothing to do with him. It had nothing to do with the words he used or the way he spoke them when he prayed. Didn't matter where he was or what he was doing. I love what Michael Houdman in his book, Got Questions, says. He says, according to the Bible, the power of prayer is quite simply the power of God, who hears and answers prayer. In our text, Jesus says, pray to your Father. The reality then is that prayer places us in contact with our Heavenly Father, who is the Almighty God. Therefore, we should always expect almighty answers, almighty results, whether the outcome of our prayer is what we want or not, right? Whatever the answers to our prayers, the God to whom we pray is the source of the power of prayer. And he always answers according to his perfect will. So the attitude we need to have then when we come to prayer is clearly demonstrated, I think, by the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Philippian church. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. When we know God as our perfect, loving Heavenly Father, perfect in power, perfect in purpose, then whatever situation we find ourselves in, prayer should be our default setting. Amen? Have you ever messed around with the settings on your computer or phone? Come on. After doing so, you found out, you know what? It's not quite performing quite how I thought it would, right? That's why most devices have an option to revert to the default setting. Because for 90, maybe 95% of us, the best settings are the default settings. For the child of God, prayer should be our default setting. When things are going bad, we pray. When things are going good, we pray. No matter what life is like, we pray. Because prayer is all about our relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. He cares about us. He wants to hear from us. He wants to talk with us and walk with us and tell us that we are his own. Some of you don't get that because that's way too old of a song for you. Anyways, he wants to share our sorrows with us and our joys with us. He wants to comfort us in hard times. He wants to celebrate with us and bless us in good times. But maybe you're here watching today, and you maybe have never realized this about God because you don't actually have that relationship with him. He wants a relationship with you. That's why Jesus left heaven and came to earth, to be with us and make a way for us to be with him forever. He came and he laid down his life to deal with the sin in our lives, to take it completely away once and for all. Then, being God himself, Jesus rose from the dead. He's the one with all power. He can do it. He did it to give us a new and everlasting life with him. And you can experience that new life and have a relationship with God by putting your faith in Jesus as your Savior and as the leader of your life. And if you'd like to do this today, I'm going to help you by leading you in a short prayer as I end my talk. You can follow along silently, and God will hear your prayer and accept you as his child, because he already knows that's happened in your heart. Would you please bow your heads with me and let's pray. Dear God, I admit I haven't been living for you. I've been doing things my own way, not even really giving you much thought in my life, and I am sorry for that. Please forgive me. Make me right with you. I believe that Jesus came to show me the only way to God by dying to pay for my sin. But right now, I ask him to be the Lord of my life. I want to discover more of who you are and who you created me to be as you open my mind to discover the wonders of your Bible. Please help me to share what you've done for me today so others as well will be able to discover your love for them through me. Thank you. Thank you that I'm now a part of your church, your forever family. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As musicians come back, if you did pray that prayer for the first time, would you please let me know? I'd love to connect with you and before you leave. Or you can fill in the information on the Connect card. It's in the seat in front of you and seat back, or it's linked to this video. It's on our website, on our app. We've got you covered in whatever way you want to do it. So please fill that out because I have some resources I'd love to share with you. Also, if you did miss last week, this is your first week back in this year, there is a little reminder of our theme out in the foyer there, that in a basket that Dan and Laura will hand out. It's just a little card, just a little reminder of our theme, but also you could use that as an invitation because it says Discover Devon Community Church. And a way to invite other people to come and discover God's purpose for them and to be a part of us here.